My Summer in the City 2018. I love summer in the city. This year it has been sunny and hot, although sometimes too hot and humid. But my flowers look great, and it's super to sit outside in our back garden and sip rosé in the early evening with Charles and Oscar the dog. Barbecue time has arrived, and our favorites are seafood, particularly sea bass, sprinkled with sesame oil and some ketchup manis, a sweet Indonesian soy sauce. This condiment is also good on veal chops or chicken breasts, where I will add 5 Chinese spices for an aromatic touch. When we return to Toronto from Florida, I try to get as many cultural events scheduled as possible. This city has a plethora of concerts, theater productions, festivals, and opera. The Canadian Opera Company featured 2 operas in the spring, and I saw them both. If by chance this is your first blog, then you might not know that my career as an opera singer was unique and wonderful, and I'm a great fan of the new breed of young singers, and naturally have informed opinions about them and opera performances. So I love attending and watching. Do check out my book, Aria, Song of a Life, if you want to know more about me. It is available at Amazon and other online suppliers. It's not so much a book about my career, but about overcoming adversity and finding a positive outcome. You could also check out my website, rickyturofsky.com. But back to the operas. The pairing of The Nightingale and Other Short Fables by Stravinsky was particularly stunning. I'd seen this in 2011 when it premiered, but this presentation was truly enchanting and magical, and I enjoyed it even more than before. Robert Lepage, the director, is brilliant and innovative. The use of puppetry in this piece, as well as water on stage and technical wizardry, made the performance mesmerizing. The singers were outstanding, with Jane Archibald excellent as the Nightingale. Her voice took on a haunting quality and happily lost much of its brittle brightness. She shone. The second opera, with my favorite soprano Sandra Radvanovsky, was Donizetti's Anna Bolena. This new production was terrific. I also adored bass baritone Christian Van Horn as King Henry VIII before his fat days, King Henry, that is, and Carrie Alkema as Jane Seymour. The opera's bel canto are about beautiful singing, not a thrilling drama exactly unless you like a lot of murder, but the cast was superlative and all could sing exquisitely. The standing ovations went on and I was blissed out. We visited Sandra backstage afterward and she was as charming and accessible as ever. I was so charged that I couldn't fall asleep until very late, well, late for me, 1 o'clock a.m. The next day, I performed horrifically on the golf course. The COC will be producing a new opera next fall called Hadrian, written by Rufus Wainwright, with the libretto book by Daniel McIver. Charles and I are involved with supporting this along with 9 other couples. The company treated us all to a wonderful evening of simply delicious food at Nota Bene restaurant. The appetizers passed around were my favorites, beef tartare, raw tuna, oysters, and then to top it all off, after a splendid dinner, a concert by Rufus. He is simply a brilliant pianist, singer, composer, and a charming dinner companion. The hit of the evening was his version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, sung and expressed intensely. Cohen was the grandfather of Rufus's daughter, Viva. See Rufus Baby. I say see Rufus Baby because if you were reading the blog, you could do a hyperlink and find out a little bit more about Rufus Wainwright, but you could anyway. So if you look up Rufus Baby, you will see what I mean about his wonderful child. I'm looking forward to Hadrian, which will star Thomas Hampson and Carita Mattila, both of the Metropolitan Opera. The evening was so much fun that I felt excited all the way home. When I return to Toronto, I always try to spend at least a lunch or supper with old friends. Carol Ann Curry is one of them. She and I sang together in operas many years ago, and now she's one of the most important singers managers in Canada. We were both dear friends of Stuart Hamilton, our beloved coach and buddy, who died at the beginning of 2017. I always met with Stuart at Scaramouche Restaurant when I returned from Florida, so Carol Ann and I decided to do our own tribute dinner to him and toast him with champagne and good gossip. The two of us never run out of things to say, and the evening, along with the food, was splendid, although our table was stuffed away in a corner, practically in their pasta bar. Perhaps management doesn't like two women out. The restaurant has been around for years, I would guess around 40, so perhaps they haven't quite gotten into the 21st century yet regarding women diners. Another wonderful and notable restaurant in Toronto on the Ossington stretch is my sister's fave, La Banane. She treated us to a terrific meal there for our anniversary. The food is unusual with many raw bar entries as well as things like liver and onions and lobster ravioli. The service to our booth was first rate. The noise level, like a lot of Toronto restaurants, is certainly not perfect for an intimate conversation, but if you turn your hearing aids down, it's workable. Speaking of restaurants, we love Skipa. I may have mentioned it before, but it is Japanese. They describe it as seasonal Japanese and is very simple at first glance. The fish is impeccable and beautifully cut and served. It is small and now very popular. We usually eat at a communal table. The night in question, we sat with a couple of chefs from another eatery. Eating is always on our priority list when we return to the city. There is an overabundance of restaurants, and many are in our neighborhood within a five-minute walk. In Florida, we have to drive at least 20 minutes to eat in a good restaurant, and mostly we eat at home. Azarius, named for the owner, Mark Azarius, is always full of energy, is very noisy, but has great, reliable food, and the dishes are small plates that can be shared. Nice to sample many different flavors. The chef is super, and the host and the waiters all very eager to please. The bar is fun too, and you can be comfortable there eating alone. We visited the kids on the west side of Montreal in a small town called Sedan de Bellevue after our return to Toronto in the late spring, and I combined that with attendance at the International Vocal Competition that is held every 3 years in downtown Montreal. We drove from Toronto and we stopped in Kingston on our way. It is a bit of a diversion, but usually merits a stop for a tasty lunch at Chez Piggy, a Kingston institution. The city on Lake Ontario is small and charming. If you are ever taking a trip to Montreal by car, it's well worth a stop. Kingston Penitentiary is also there and worth a visit, as it is now a museum. Lunch was good, not great. Chez Piggy has been around a long time and I think rests on its reputation a bit too much. The waiter was quite incompetent. However, a visit to their food shop and bakery, Pan Chancho, is a must. We loaded up on takeout food for James and the girls. This time it was spicy shrimp, lamb ossobuco, many salads, Nanaimo bars, some wine, and then we continued our travel to Quebec. I believe that kids love routines, and we follow the same one that we started many years ago. We first checked into our charming hotel, Chateau Vaudreuil, which sits on the Lac de Deux Montagnes, or the Lake of Two Mountains. It is a very pretty hotel, a mixture of French and Italian in design and cuisine. We treated very nicely there, as we've been staying in Vaudreuil for about 10 years at this same spot. Then we met up with our two granddaughters, Rose 11 and June 8. Sometimes we pick them up at their mother's house, and sometimes we meet at their father's, or their mum just drops them at the hotel. I then prepared the food I'd bought in Kingston, and we had a lively dinner. The girls loved being with their father and staying over in their bunk beds. After a few hours, we left our hotel. We left for our hotel, about 10 minutes away, with plans for the kids to come to us in the morning. The next morning, they arrived with their bags and checked in for one night. I'd already had my exercise swim in the lovely indoor pool, but we all put on suits and headed down for a swim together that lasted almost the entire afternoon. We spent some time at the tiny beach, and we went out for lunch to a taco place not far away. In the evening, we ate in the dining room and had Caesar salad prepared at the table and other goodies. After a late night visit with James and good night's sleep, we all ate breakfast together. Normally the girls would head to the pool and we would head back to Toronto, but this year was different. However, the basic routine had been followed every time we visit. Lara, the girl's mom, picked us up and drove me into Montreal. The plan was for all of us except the men to have lunch together and get caught up. It was definitely a long time since we'd done this sort of thing, and it was delightful. I also checked into my Montreal hotel, the Sofitel, a very sleek French hotel in a wonderful location downtown. After hugs all around and many I love yous, I readied myself for the first afternoon of my attendance at the concours or competition. I chose to stay for only 2 days as my anniversary was coming up, and I thought it would be a very good idea to spend it at home with Charles. Although the concours lasts 10 days, I'd signed up to attend the finals of the art song competition, a masterclass the following day, and the semifinals of the aria. I donated some money towards the contestants of the art song component because my dear old friend Jim Norcop had asked me to do this. Jim was the first person to audition me in Vancouver when I was starting out as a young opera singer. We have remained friends since that day in 1967, so I just couldn't say no. He is the force behind the art song in this competition. But I shan't go into any more details except to say that I had a wonderful time listening to the young singers. I was delighted to be asked to join a group going to a cocktail dînatoire, or cocktail reception, a new expression for my French, at the home of the director of the entire event. I got a ride with some folks from the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and we chatted amicably the entire route. This party was held in an incredible condominium near the harbor. Every unit was over 5,000 square feet, and each terrace faced an indoor atrium filled with palm trees, banana plants, and a multitude of tropical shrubberies. Many of the guests admired this scene while we drank yummy wines and ate masses of interesting appetizers that only the French seemed to create. I had a lengthy and amusing conversation with the famous tenor and broadcaster Ben Heppner. Was snubbed by the snooty Carrie Takanawa I had met years before, and generally had a wonderful time enjoying the arts talk and gossip, not to mention the food and wine. The next day I lunched with Jim at Maison Boulou in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. What can I say but exquisite? Then in a rainstorm we headed to the masterclass given by Warren Jones, which was an eye and an ear opener mostly because he worked with both the singers and the accompanists. I was thoroughly entranced, and I have been at a great many master classes over the years. Then in the evening, I watched the aria finalists with orchestra singing their hearts out. Well, some of them. I loved a mezzo-soprano from Toronto who was a mere 23 years old, Emily D'Angelo, and predict great things for her future. Actually, the best part of my few days immersed in song was my memories. In 1970, I was in this competition. It had a slightly different name then, Concours International de Montréal, and was run somewhat differently, lasting 2 weeks, but it was a pivotal moment in my career. I was billeted in a warm French home, looked after very well, practiced every day with the five sons of the family, listening to me attentively, had my fans from the family and their friends at my performances, and I was a prize winner. I also had my first glass of Puy Fumé and remarkable French cheeses and charcuterie. I love that time, and I enjoyed this past revisit a great deal. I headed back to Toronto sated with music, wonderful times with my granddaughters, and a general sense of well-being. Now I shall stop. I will continue in my next blog and tell you all about the wonderful Stratford Festival, our brief trip to Vancouver, and other things that make my city fun to be in during the summer. Till then, sign off.